We are in a series about forgiving other people, and last couple weeks we've touched on different parts of this topic, and last week we talked about what it takes to forgive someone. Just a couple, you know, points of refresher. It's a journey to forgive someone. And sometimes you might, you might have been in a position, maybe you are right now, where you think, listen, I can't forgive this person. And the reality is, it's not that you can't, it's that you can't easily. Forgiveness is not easy. Oftentimes it's not easy, and it is a journey. And the best advice that God and Scripture would give us is you're going to need His help. So prayer is going to be your go-to maneuver on forgiving someone, and it's going to be an act of you praying for them time and again and again and again, and you do the right thing until you feel the right thing or feel the right way. And so it is a journey to forgiving other people. Today we're going to get into why, and I want to point out that, you know, sometimes we can be a little, we can kind of mislead ourselves, and we might say, you know, I can't even think of someone I need to forgive. And there was a time in my life when I was, I kind of felt that way. And I remember driving one day, and I'm driving, and someone pulled up behind me, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and I recognized them. And it was someone that I had felt like I would have said that I had forgiven them. And but I noticed an automatic reaction with me seeing them behind me. And the reaction was a physical one, and it was just that feeling in the pit of your stomach that's just a little sour, a little uncomfortable, a little unpleasant. And, you know, that, and so I drove on and what have you, but it made me come face to face with the fact that, Elliot, you really haven't completely forgiven them. If that's all it took for you to feel, you know, this kind of bad reaction. And so I had to, that's something I dealt with myself and needed to. And we always, you need to keep thinking that sometimes we'll say, well, I've forgiven them, but, and, you know, here we go. So point being, it may be someone that you feel like you have mostly forgiven, and yet you still would have a hard time praying a prayer that says, God, I pray you richly bless this person in every way. And so be thinking about those type of people in your life. So today we're going to get into the reasons why forgive someone. You might say, you know, preacher, that sounds good and that's great for you, and some people can do that, and I get that. But I still don't understand why it's so important to forgive other people. And the big one, the first reason we'll get into, is because God forgave you. God is forgiving you. And we have a great passage on this, and it starts out with Peter asking this question to Jesus: how often, how many times will my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? And Jesus, and Peter said, you know, should I do it as many as seven times? And Jesus, verse 22, said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. There's other gospel records, 70 times seven. And the point is still the same. Whatever number, it's not a number that you reach and then you check off and say, all right, I'm done. The point is you do it as many times as needed. And then Jesus goes on to tell this story. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. So in the first century, a talent was a weight of measurements. We might, you know, how many ounces of gold or how many pounds of gold is how we might say it. They measured gold coins and silver coins in measurements of talents. So here we know how many talents. We don't know what the product is, though. We don't know if we're talking about silver or gold. But the good news is it really doesn't matter. And some rough estimates on this would be, if Jesus is telling this story and if he's talking about silver, we're talking in today's dollars maybe 20 million. If it's gold, it's in the billions. And the point is the same either way. If you owed someone 20 million, you know, would you really lay out a spreadsheet how long it would take you to pay off 20 million? Or would that be... we call that bankruptcy. We have laws that provide us a way out or a way to deal with a debt that's insurmountable. And so that's what Jesus is saying in this story. In verse 25, since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. Stephanie and I have been in more debt than we currently are. And you may be in a lot of debt right now, or you may remember a time when you were in a lot more debt. And there was a time when we had upwards of 20,000 or more in just credit card debt, not counting, you know, mortgage and car loans. And the vast majority of that was on one that penalized us for bad behavior, and we were sitting with 24.9% interest on a large amount of that. And it was a point in our life when we've got to really buckle down and get to work paying this off. And it takes time and it takes effort. So I just say that to say, if you've been there or you are there, that and you're looking at a debt that, boy, it's going to take me a while to pay this off, that's not this story. That's not this part. This part is an amount of debt that's impossible. And so, you know, for us, you think if you wound up in debt that was impossible for you to pay off, what would you do? What's the worst case scenario? They repo your house, you move somewhere else, repo some vehicles, get a clunker to drive, move in with someone for a while. What's the worst case scenario? Bankruptcy? Okay. But in the first century, worst case scenario is you would be sold. If you couldn't pay it, you would be sold. They would sell you, your wife, your kids, and take that amount and put it towards the debt, and now you're a slave for the rest of your life. It's kind of hard for us to imagine, isn't it? And if that did happen, and that amount, and in this story Jesus tells, they were all sold and payment was made, well, that was still a drop in the bucket, right? Whatever that amount would be, it would not be what was owed, 10,000 talents, it would not be that. And if you stop and think, well, what if I try to pay God back for what he's forgiven me, how much can you pay him? If I try to do good to pay God back for the blood of Jesus and how much it's forgiven me, how far can I go paying that debt back? And it's the same thing. It's a drop in the bucket. It's nothing for the debt that we have toward God. So verse 26, this servant, he falls on his knees. He's begging, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And verse 27, out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave his debt. Let's stop for a minute. So this servant or this person who owed this debt, he begs the master. He says, have patience with me. And he begs. Have you ever sinned against God in a way that when you went to pray for forgiveness, you didn't feel, this isn't a normal God, this one's different, God. You've already forgiven me of this a number of times. God, you've already brought me to a point where I should know better than this kind of sin. And you, not so much that you bargained with God, but you had a prayer with God that was, God, please don't give up on me. I don't deserve another forgiveness on this. I don't deserve what I'm asking, but I'm asking. Have you ever done that? That's this man. And this man is us in this story, by the way. But that's this man. He is begging. And so his master did have pity on him, forgave the whole debt. So when the servant goes out, what you would expect from the servant is not what happens. The servant goes out. He finds one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, seized him, begins to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. How do you feel about this servant now? How do you feel about this one who's been forgiven this massive debt? What a relief. He begged for it, didn't deserve it. It was overwhelming debt. He was about to be sold, him and his wife and kids, and it's been forgiven, and now he walks out, and instead of being in a spirit of giving, right? Have you ever been in a place where you got some extra money you didn't expect to get, And all of a sudden, when I'm that way, all of a sudden I'm if we're going out to eat, hey, I'll buy yours. I mean, I'm in this spirit, right? Normally, good luck. You know, we're two checks. But you know, if you got some extra money you didn't know, right? It kind of puts you in a spirit of generosity. This guy, no, he grabs someone who owed him a little bit, begins to choke him. How do you feel about this person? About the one who's been forgiven, but now he's choking someone who owes him a little bit. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. When we read on verse 32, back up for just a second. So he begins choking his fellow man, fellow servant who owes him. The amount he owes is an amount, it's nothing compared to what the first servant was forgiven of. It could have been paid, about 100 days' wage is what it was. It's an amount that could have been paid. And if you stop and think, let's stop for a second. How many times someone has sinned against you? So think of a person that has been hard for you to forgive, or maybe hard for you right now. For me, that person in my past, I could probably, if you were to draw up a list of how many sins, you know, what are their wrongs against you? Kind of like in a court of law, if someone's charged and brought in before a judge, the charges are this charge, that, right? This charge. And if you were to write up a list for your enemy, what would it look like? How many charges could you bring against them? This person in my life, I might could come up with 50. Now, a single one of them was pretty, very hurtful, okay? But I might could maybe stretch it and come up with something upwards of 50 violations, right? Sins and wrongs against me. How many could God come up with that I've wronged Him? How many times have you wronged God? Have you sinned against God? Have you fallen short of holiness with God? What does that list look like? You ever thought about that? Well, we couldn't make that list, could we? Not just because it would break our heart, but we sin and don't even know we've sinned. We fall short, don't even know we've fallen short. You have, not to mention all of that, then just daily. How many days have you lived from an age of accountability? How long is that list? It's a long list. And when you stop and think about the list of your sins, how long your sin list is, and you compare it to the sins of someone against you, how can you be forgiven of your sins and then turn and file charges against someone else? And that's the point of this. So when we come to the question of why should I forgive someone else? This is how God feels about me. If I hold a grudge, God says, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant?" If I ask the question, "God, why do I have to forgive this person? I just don't know that I can do this." Listen to me. If I ask God, "Why do I have to forgive this person?" God's answer to me is because I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you of much, so you can forgive others of much. Second reason is, which may sound like the exact same reason, but it's so that God will forgive you. And this is the scripture reading. We have a number of scriptures that are kind of if-then. And this one, Matthew 6:14, "If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." If you've forgiven them. Now, here's where let's get into this a little bit more. Sometimes we lie to ourselves and we say, "You know what? I have forgiven. I've forgiven them, but I just still feel like what they did was ridiculous." I mean, if we get right down to it, let's be honest. I have forgiven them. I have. I just think it's ridiculous what they did. We might say, "I have forgiven them, but I tell you what, I just hope they reap what they sowed. I have forgiven them, but I tell you what, they will still answer to God. I have forgiven them, but I have not forgotten Folks, all of that equals I've not forgiven them. Right? In fact, if you say, I have forgiven them, but, if you have to say but, most likely you've not forgiven them. True? Amen. Most likely you've not forgiven them. And here we come to a scripture that says, if I forgive others, God will forgive me. And I think, well, yeah, I've forgiven them. I mean, I have. I stopped driving by their house and grabbing at eggs to throw out the window. I've forgiven them. I'm just a little bitter about it. That means I have not forgiven them. Mark 11:25, another one. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. The point here is don't put it off either. And I have to kind of say, it sounds like I'm saying opposite things, but on the one hand, forgiveness it may be a journey. It's not a light switch. And at the same time, don't put it off. Don't say, well, you know, I'm kind of working on it. I'm working. I still got some bad feelings. A preacher said I have some time. I'm not saying you have time. I'm saying get after it. But it may not be today that you get it, that you feel different about it. But it's not something to put off. Judge not and you will not be judged. Luke 6:37, condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. How much do you want God to forgive you? And that's our compass for how much do I need to forgive other people. To be very brief and to the point about it, God commands it. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. For me to say to you, you should forgive people when they trespass against you, that's not a true statement. I shouldn't say you should. That's misleading. You should really work on that. You should do that. That's misleading. You must. And I must. That's what God says, must. And then lastly, and this is really the why this sermon series is titled "A Most Unlikely Gift" is because the blessing we receive when we forgive someone. And the reason is so that you can be blessed by it. And Hebrews 12:15 kind of shows the opposite. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. When you've been hurt by another, sinned against, and before you forgave them, what was that like for you? For me, I was angry. I was vengeful. I had a lot of vengeful thoughts. Didn't carry any of them out, but wanted to. Longed to. Dreamed about doing so. I was sour. And maybe the best word is what is written here in Hebrews. I was bitter. And when you hang on to bitterness, whether it's small or it's large, it only hurts you. Think about that. It doesn't hurt the other person. They don't know what's going on with you. In fact, they're probably not even thinking about you and what they've done to you. They're going on with their life, and here you are harboring this bitterness, feeling like, well, if I forgive them, then they'll win. And the truth is, if you forgive them, you win. You're the one that wins. And their walk is between them and God. And when you fully forgive someone, they could pull up behind you and you would say a prayer, God, I pray you give them a good day. It might take a while. But you talk about winning, and that's where here we have the fruit of the Spirit. Contrast this fruit of the Spirit of peace, which is one of the fruit, to root of bitterness. God's trying to take me, when I've been offended and I'm harboring ill feelings, God's trying to take me from bitterness to peace. And he says the only way to get that, it's not through justice. Justice won't do it. It's through mercy and it's through forgiveness. And it is so surprising how much relief you get when you forgive someone. It's surprising. I suppose I'd heard it before. I suppose someone said that before. You know, you should. I remember when I was very bitter and people, I would talk about the other person and I could tell from their expression that this is how I feel and this isn't how everyone else feels. I was almost trying to kind of develop a camp against, right? If I were talking about it, I expected you to feel like I did. And other people didn't. That was my bitterness. And how surprising it was to feel the relief and peace when I had finally forgiven. Forgiving produces freedom. And it is a gift to yourself, unlike any other. And so I encourage you next week, incidentally, we'll have the final sermon on this topic, talking about different types of people that you're trying to forgive. And a big part of next week's sermon is going to be about self. If you ever struggle with forgiving yourself, you say, I've forgiven other people, I'm pretty good. I mean, I've done that. I don't know how to forgive me. We're going to get into that next week. So this morning, if you have a need, we would love to stop and lift you up, a situation up confidentially, but to lift your name before God and pray on your behalf. And I would also ask that if you are struggling with forgiveness right now, we as a church, we're with you and we support you and we'll pray for you. But if you have a need that we can help you with, please come while we stand and sing.
And your heart has who cares each time.